Blog Talk Radio.
In a headlight, staring bleak, beer cans, deer's eyes on the asphalt, underneath our crushed plans and my lies. Lonely street signs, power lines, they keep on flashing, flashing by, and we keep driving to the night. It's a late goodbye, such a late goodbye, and we keep driving into the night. It's a late goodbye. Your breath hot upon my cheek, and we cross strong. When I was feeling weak, and we crossed that one time, screaming stop signs, staring wild eyes, keep on flashing, flashing by, and we keep driving into the night. It's a late goodbye, such a late goodbye, and we keep driving into the night. It's a late goodbye. The devil grins from ear to ear when he sees a hand dealt us, points at your flaming hair. Can't breathe easy here, let our trails come cold behind us. Still in the John mirror you stare at yourself grown old and weak. We keep driving into the night. It's a late goodbye, such a late goodbye. We keep driving into the night. It's a late goodbye.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community, that's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild, voodoo, and nature and passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Join us Wednesday morning for Keeping It Brief, and then come back later that evening as we turn up the heat with The Art of Seduction. Thursdays are split between Inner Craft or Song Art with Richard and Neutron at Double Helix with Aphasiana and Daniel. I think so. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. Saturday, split between Gray Eyes and Dan, Howling at the Moon in the North Woods, bringing you Bad Company, and exploring Ekphrasia with Captain B2 Gray Eyes. And if you're looking for a little more edgy aroma, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Sunday mornings. Come take a walk on the wild side Tuesday. Sit in with Aphasiana and Babla on Thursday as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. Break on through with Pam on Friday. Join Dex and Pam for their second show on Saturday morning, Once Upon a Time. And then every other Sunday, join Arcana and Stellina as they go delving into the darkness. Check out the contest and prompts for all of our shows. Call into read your poems and aim for the fun. And if you can do SoundClouds, please attach that to your poem because we'd love to hear it in your own words. Hello, Pam.
Hello, Rex. Boy, we keep on trying to trip you up with all those co-hosts and hosts being juggled around and shows, and you just keep nailing it. So, yeah. As always, very cool. So, how's it going?
All right. What's doing?
Oh, let's see. Well, I have to say that all in all, don't want to say it's been a lazy day. I've just been busy with stuff that required me to sit down, like, reading and commenting on poetry, setting up a contest or two, you know, that kind of stuff. To the point where by the time I realized that it was like 7:30 and I still hadn't eaten dinner, I had tortilla chips and salsa and cheese curds and an apple for dinner because I just didn't feel like cooking anything. My butt was numb by that point, so I had to get up and stretch. But you know what? Some days are like that. But yeah, all in all, it's been a good day. The weather's a little warmer, but not too bad. I think we're in our 80s. So, but how about you?
All the food groups. You got starch, you got vegetables, you got dairy, and you got fruit.
That's right.
Not in the right considerate angles, but you got them all in.
Exactly. That's right. Yep. And I, of course, washed it down with some Canada Dry ginger ale. So life is good. Let's see here. Yeah. But all right. So I would like to know, because I have to admit that this is one band that I don't know a whole lot about. I would like to know what you've learned or what you can tell us about Poets of the Fall.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about them either, although they've been around for 20 years. They're a Finnish rock band. They formed in 2003. Marco Soresto, who's the lead vocalist, and Olli Turkkainen, the lead guitarist, founded the group, and they're joined with Markus Kolonen, Karlonen, who's on keyboards and does production. We've got Jani Snellman on bass, Jaska Makinen on rhythm guitar, and Jan Salminen on percussion and drums. Apparently, early on in 2003, one of Soresto's friends, Sammy Jarvie, handed him a poem asking him to turn it into a song, because it was going to be used on a video game. And that video game was Max Payne 2, The Fall of Max Payne. And that song was Late Goodbye, which was one of the songs that was picked for this contest. It did quite well, as a matter of fact. It was used, I think, on the back end of the video game. And it did go on their first album, which came out in 2005, called Signs of Life. It did get certified platinum. And it's got a number of awards for it, so I guess these are would be the music awards from Europe. They got an EMMA award for best debut album, as well as best newcomer award. It's certified platinum, and they seem to get a lot of airplay across Europe, as well as Eastern Europe. They're particularly well-received in Poland, Czechoslovakia, Russia, and down under in Australia. So But I haven't heard them. This was the first I've heard of them when I got to Bill Borden suggested this to Phil, and she forwarded it to me. And all right, let's check it out. And this is the first time I'd seen them. But apparently they do quite well over in Europe. They're considered Finland's best rock band. And that
very cool.
Led Goodbye is their seems to be their signature song as far as best known.
Well, I will definitely have to check them out more. I was impressed with the lyrics, and I was also very impressed with the quality and quantity of entries that you got. And that must be why Rozzy wrote for them, is because she's from Finland, and I see her hanging out on the board. And say, hello, Rozzy.
Hi, Rozzy.
Good to see you. And a great big thank you to our Bill Borden for recommending this group to you. Very cool.
Well, in order to keep maintain full creative control of their music, they formed their own record label called Insomniac, and they've been releasing all their music on that label since 2014. So going on almost 10 years now, and they've done 8 studio albums, 3 compilation albums, and 2 live albums. So they've been quite busy for the past 20 years. Going back to 05, you're looking at 18 years, just about 20 years.
Okay. Well, that's the way to do it, you know, get your own independent label. Then you get the true fans, the fans who really, really love the music. And like you said, then they have more creative control rather than being controlled by the money. Though I'm sure money-wise they're not doing bad. I have no doubt about that.
Probably not, considering they do, well, they hit Germany, Austria, Switzerland all the time, as well as Russia, Poland, and I'm not sure about the angle of going down under, but they do seem to be well-known down under.
Very cool. Very cool. I like it. I like it. Well, you know what? That is actually, for somebody who doesn't really know a lot, you certainly did tell us quite a bit. So very cool. Well, we got a nice full show of both poetry and music. So whenever you're ready to get the ball rolling, we can go ahead and do that.
Absolutely.
All right. And before we do that, I would like to welcome Dexter to the show. Welcome, Dexter. Glad you could join us.
Hey, Pam. Hey, Rex. Glad I could make it.
Hey, Dex. How you doing?
I can probably only make it for maybe the first half or so. I got work in the morning, but I wanted to still check in. So.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, the first song that we're going to play is Moonlight Kissed by Poets of the Fall, obviously. So here we go.
Shadow and light stroke in the mist, and I hear voices take flight, send out a wish of peaceful dreams on a night moonlight kiss. When 10 bills of smoke clash the street and shamelessly court, this sky is tiny sweet, cater all sorts, and hushed tones all agree, and the world is stalled. touch, the warm light still aglow. Across the porch, we watch the scene die unfold outside our window. Oh, my words are the salt of lust on that ivory skin. Difficult.
Are you on mute, Rex?
Yep.
Ah, I see. Well, somebody has to be on mute since Jean's not here. Good of you to take her place.
Well, I had to make sure that song ended. Last time I tried that, I walked in, thought the song was over, and the damn thing kept playing some more. So I said, well, all right.
I remember that. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was it last week, I think? Yep, that start, stop. There you go. That's good thinking. All right. Well, that was an absolutely beautiful song, and I could definitely see why out of all the prompts offered up, that was the one that inspired the most rites. And with that being said, we have up first Kissing Under the Moonlight Until the World Diminishes by Jenny the Deep. And Dexter, would you give that a read for us, please?
Absolutely. This is Kissing Under the Moonlight Until the World Diminishes by Jenny the Deep. Alone I ran from burning painful daylight into surprised filled night of true delight. Kissed by your shadow under the moonlight, illuminated by stars twinkling dark skies. As you adoringly admire me, the earth quakes below our feet, lifting me up. To the lighthouse we flee, watching wild waves crash, fierce as can be. Butterfly kisses vibrating from your eyelids, landing on my cheeks softly as the moon rises, cooling our bodies with blowing winds, bringing us closer. Your lips meet my lips. Through the rain, one on love, we take our chance, enjoying what could be our last dance. Under the stars, moon or sun, we understand. Forever together we stand, hand in hand. Here in the dark, never will I lead you astray. With you through the night, I'm here to stay. To grant you all my wishes, your midnight, or to grant all of your midnight summer wishes until our luminescent universe diminishes. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, what do you think?
I like this. This has such a wonderful sense of romanticism. I like how it speaks on possibly a couple's last night together, either because, you know, circumstances are going to be separating them, or perhaps the idea of an impending death. Either way, you can, you know, feel the emotional impact in the lines. I love the imagery and the metaphors and the rhyme. The romance and sensuality is brought together and woven together in a very delicate way. I really like butterfly kisses vibrating from your eyelids, landing on my cheeks softly as the moon rises, cooling our bodies with blowing winds, brings us closer. Your lips meet my lips. You know, they're just such a wonderful feeling of the idea to me of being with someone in the dark, both literally and metaphorically. So excellent write and very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Dex, you got the read. How about you?
Yeah, Jenny really produces some great rhyming poetry. You know, when she says, you know, butterfly kisses vibrating from your eyelids, landing on my cheek softly as the moon rises, you know, her rhyming throughout this one kind of goes back and forth between subtle to spot on, and it's a perfect mixture. You know, through the rain on love, we take a chance, enjoying what could be our last dance. Something feels like to this one about living in the present, because you never know what tomorrow will bring. None of us do, right? I mean, we could possibly not wake up tomorrow. And so understanding the worth and the value in the present, I feel like this is what this one is about. So very well done, Jenny.
Absolutely. She worked well with the rhyme scheme as well as the offset rhyme with and the near rhyme as well. It works within this. But it's kind of a sad piece. Alone, I ran from the burning, painful daylight into a surprise-filled night of blue, the true delight, kissed by your shadow under the moonlight. Illuminated by stars twinkling dark skies. There's a note of sadness in that. And on the back end, she finishes it that very same way. Here in the dark, never will I lead you astray. With you through the night, I am here to stay, to grant all your midnight summer wishes until our luminescent universe diminishes. It's almost a kind of note to the meeting in a singularity, just that one moment in time, and then it's gone. It's like you get that note right before the sun rises. You get that note to a touch of twilight, a little bit of dark, a little bit of light. And in that note, there is both the dark and the light at the same moment. And this kind of walks the same angle, which I liked. So nicely done, Jenny. Thank you very much. All right, Pam.
All right. And up next we have Sky Pantheon Presents by Eric Svensson. And we have a recording for that. So let me mosey on over and here we go.
Sky Pantheon Presents Super Duper Full Buck Moon Glows Luscious Luminosity Heavy Heart Viscosity Shifts continental mind drift illumed, mighty moose antlers antennae, shadow and the self caught in supermoon headlines, will Damascus Road inside blind, salt pillar caught between fight and flight, ooh, ah, supermoon cyclops eye leers, peers down upon pedestrian pedagogues, priestly poets pander, oracles, ooh, ah, sky pantheon compacts, showcases four supermoons in a month, July 3, August 1, August 30, and September 29. Ouch! No more hide and seek. Shadow and the self caught in four supermoon headlights. Beyond fight, flight, and fight. What options remain? Sprightly Sprocket Davy Crockett, you Tennessee Ernie Ford me. Remember when Model T Fords were rolled out? Modern day Davy Crockett's, let's see our duty through. Vast virgin prairie hot spaces await. Purple-headed mountain crags echo. Come yonder, ye that are weary. Embrace your new frontier. Liberty bell patched with soulful sentience. Joy untold waits to unfold. Full flush birth water breakage. Anchored in vast hard chambers. Minds don't titanic. Bet my bottom Bitcoin dollar. Dimes Nickelodeon rhyme and reason. Mind treason can only be undone by jolly jumping jack flash hearts fully.
Great read, Eric. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Dex, why don't we start with you?
Well, this is a very... Eric is one of my favorites, and I think that's well established. This one is very coded deeply. My take on this one is about how the flux of the full moon, the effects that it has on us all as animals. Not only does it illuminate the night, and when he talks about no more hide and seek, but I believe that it, I think that he's talking about our behaviors in the night and how the full moon can bring these certain things out. And when he talks about the Model T and things like this, is, you know, it's almost along the lines, if you run on the road, you could get hit. Well, there's that much more maybe opportunity coming up. This is a very deep poem. I just feel like it has to do with how the moon, how much studies there are on just animals, us, everybody's personalities and characteristics and everything fluctuate along with the moon. And you can bet your bit collar dime on it. So very well done.
Thank you, Dex. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I like what Dexter had to say. And it is so true. When those full moons come out, you know, it just really everything and everyone just goes crazy. As always, I'm sorry, Eric, I don't know why I suddenly blanked out there, offers up, you know, just a brilliant imagery and metaphors throughout. I really like where he says, "Will Damascus Road insight blind salt pillar caught between flight and fight?" You know, I like that whole idea of, are we going to, you know, when we are shown the beauty and the strength within nature, are we going to, like, see it for what it is, or are we going to turn a blind eye? There was something in this poem, especially as he got to modern-day Davy Crockett's Let's See Our Deed Through, and some of the other lines that really made me think along the lines that this spoke on the passing of time and how an appreciation of nature has been trampled by obsession with technology. I loved the way he chooses to use his phrasing, how he mixes in everything from biblical references to Americana, like, as I said, Davy Crockett and the Liberty Bell. I really like "Mind Treason Can Only Be Undone by Jolly Jumping Jack Flash, Hearts Fully Flushed." You know, sometimes I think, and I think there's a part of that that speaks to me on the idea of the only way to overcome this urge for madness is to just fully embrace it. As always, just a wonderful write by Eric and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. All right, I can bite into what you both said. I think Eric Wolf was even deeper than that. That opening stanza, "Super duper full buck moon glows luscious luminosity, heavy heart viscosity shifts, continental mind drift illumined." That full buck moon he's offering up with that picture, as well as that opening stanza, is a shift in mentality. Heavy heart viscosity shifts, and the continental mind drift illumined. It's almost as if he's offering up that third eye awakening in that first stanza. And then the thought, "Mighty moose antlers, antenna, shadow in the self court and supermoon headlight. Will Damascus Road insight blind, salt pillar caught between fight and flight." Now, the Damascus Road also hits on the idea of Damascus steel, something which we still cannot produce today, and which was the best steel that's ever been made. The thought with the salt pillar hits at that note of Lot and his wife. She looks back and gets turned into a pillar of salt. So the idea between fight or flight is, do you stay in the moment and then look back and get turned into a salt pillar, or do you flee in the moment so you have that opportunity later on down the road? And it's on a peers down upon pedestrian pedagogues. I like that note with the super cyclops eye leer. That kind of hits with the idea of being watched, because he peers down upon pedestrian pedagogues, those people who want to control, priestly poets, pander oracles, the idea of looking towards something else besides the irreverency that's been imparted across the world. Then that thought with the four supermoons within a 30-day span, July 3rd, August 1st, August 30th, September 29th, that imparts something spiritually motivating or moving, and goes right into no more hide and seek. You can't hide, you can't do the hide and seek now because you're under full display with those four supermoons within a 30-day span, which is a great thought. Let's see. Sprightly Sprocket, David Crockett. I thought that was good. And then he throws in a Tennessee Ernie Ford, musician, as well as the Model T's. And then modern-day David Crockett, Let's See Our Duty Through, is kind of looking back towards what was, could once again be, but better than it was once. The Virgin Prairie Heart Spaces awaits. Those are the new open hearts in the moment. Let's see. come yonder, ye that are weary, embrace your new frontier. The idea of an awakening there. And the Liberty Bell patch with soulful ascension offers up that notice that there's a healing that's coming. And full flush birth water breakage offers up new birth, new beginnings. Anchored in vast heart chambers, minds don't titanic, offering the thought that minds don't break, don't crack in the moment and sink. Now, the bottom end of this, with the, I thought the Bitcoin dollar was nice because he's hitting on the angle of the banking system is failing. And there's a prediction out there that some 5,000 in the U.S. alone will be shutting down over the next 12 to 18 months. Dimes, Nickelodeon, Rhyme and Reason, that points back again to easier times. The Nickelodeon, not just the cartoon network Nickelodeon, but the fact that Nickelodeons were those places you went to have a bit of fun. The dime kind of hits on the angle of money returning to something worthy as opposed to the inflation that we're stuck within now. And the bottom two lines, mind treason can only be undone by jolly jumping Jack Flash hearts. Then to hit the Rolling Stones, and the idea of being fully flushed means open and ready to embrace what is coming. Nicely done, Eric. I like that.
Wow, Rex, way to rip that poem down to its bare bones with that analytical brain of yours. I really think you should have commented on that first, so me and Dexter could have just pointed to you and said, yeah, what he said. It really was an awesome poem.
I think so, too.
Hey, Rosie, if you do get a chance, go see him so you can tell us what the show was like.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good idea. If Rosie does get a chance, like you said, Rex, she can tell us what that show would be like. All right. Well, up next, we have Spilling Crimson by Betty Page. And as soon as the poem opens up, I will give it a read. Here we go. Love, I'm bleeding out. Spilling crimson on my knees, fading on the background, wishing I could shout, say to you apologies, silence only found. My words poetic may never reach you in time, for I'm lost at sea, to you pathetic. All I've done to you is crime, hate my memory, despise pure heartbreak. Words spill out, I can't take back. Must I pay always? More than I can take, blades slowly sever, attack. My eyes remain dazed. Keep keys to my heart. Maybe one will open it, running out of time. Must we be apart? Rip me vicious, bit by bit. Rape my flesh sublime. In chaos I fade. You're watching from a distance, Madam Butterfly. Piercing dreams we've made. Always wanted one more chance. Sing to me, I cry. Comfort me with songs, sinister yet beautiful. Bring me, break me as I bend. My heart begs, it longs to be your girl respectful. Heal me, let us mend. I'm left without words, abandoned rainbows vanish, crushed, inconsolable. Grab samurai swords. Why must your love diminish? I'm now immobile. Twist the blade, I'll pierce. Unraveling is my gun, for silence must stay. Your voice haunts me fierce, echoes in pools of crimson as I fade away. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Dex, what do you think?
This is a very striking write here by Betty Page about, you know, love, you're bleeding out. Bleeding out, I would imagine, is it's almost slowly fading away as if death is. But it's almost feels like in this piece, you know, Break Me As I Bend, is it somewhat desired? If we don't quite know what love is, we can create an idea of what love could be, or what maybe love, what isn't, but what is to us in our minds can be a lot of times semi-abusive, semi-toxic. So this feels like a created love or a desired love that is kind of toxic and one that bleeds you out. So very well done, Betty Page. I love this.
Well, I get that. Thank you, Dex. All right, Pam, what do you think? Since you read it.
Oh, I like this one. Wonderful 575 lines. Powerful imagery and metaphors. It's emotive. It's heartfelt. It speaks definitely on regrets, on regrets of love lost, and maybe because either, you know, obviously there's this regret on what she did or what the character she's representing did to push the other person away. And they want that second chance, but a part of them deeply knows that that second chance isn't going to be given. And I like how she speaks on keeping her heart, the key to her heart, keeps keys to my heart. Maybe one day one will open it, running out of time. You know, I don't know if that's just the idea of perhaps of coming to the end of life, or sometimes you get to an age where you feel like you're not going to find that love, so you just want to start giving up, but still holding on to that bit of hope. There's a true sense of guilt to this within these lines, and it's interesting how there's also such a sense of torment. Another part I like is a simple phrase, the my words poetic may never reach you in time, for I'm lost at sea. While that does speak on along the storyline of being far in the distance from somebody, it also feels like that the washed, lost in sea represents like being lost in a state of depression, but it also, to me, represents the idea that no matter how much beautiful poetry you write, even the best of words cannot make up for actions that have hurt somebody and torn a relationship apart. So just an amazing write and very well done.
Thank you. I got to go a little different. This is a pouring out between two halves of the same person. It's like the created left side of the brain arguing with the literal right side of the brain. Because they're separate, they don't believe in each other. There's anxiety between the two. They're not settled in their sense of self and their love for themselves. Because you look at the words, to you, pathetic. All I've done to you is crime. Hate my memory. Despise pure heartbreak. Words spill out. I can't take back. Must pay. Must I pay always? More than I can take. Blades slowly sever. Attack. My eyes remain dazed. And again, with a little bit more doubt further, the back end of this, though, kind of hits on the idea of maybe finding a bit of peace, but not. Comfort me with songs, sinister yet beautiful, break me as I bend. Again, the sense of self. Then we'll say that, twist the blade, I'll pierce. Unraveling is my gun, for silence must stay. Your voice haunts me fierce. Echoes in pools of crimson as I fade away. There is a kind of an offhanded note in that, not of death per se or killing oneself, but letting one part of yourself go so that or not letting it go, but melding it into a singularity where the mind actually is purposeful once again instead of being split. Where we go next?
Great observations there, Rex. And all right, well, up next we have Five Digits in a Lonely Shower by Sophia Stars. And Rex, go ahead, please, and give us a read. Or give that a read.
All right. Five Digits in a Lonely Shower by Sophia Stars. Shadow casted in my inner light, how I wish to hold you tonight. Inside the mist, inside my lonely shower, I wish to hold you every hour. Five digits become ten. When I'm able to hold you again, I look for your face inside the mist. You will always be on my list. Five digits in front of each other, I'm always yours, my secret lover. And poem. All right, Pam, what about you? What do you think?
Well, first of all, I'm sorry, you did say Pam, right?
Yep.
Okay, that's what I thought, because it's not like Pam or Dexter, like, rhyme or anything, so. You know what, great read there, Rex. This is a wonderful brevity. Five digits become ten. That's odd to me because, I mean, unless we're talking about two one-legged, one-armed people falling in love, I think the math is a little wrong. But other than that, other than the math being possibly off, I like the romantic tone of this and how it speaks on the idea of wanting to truly be with somebody. And hey, nothing wrong with showering together. It conserves water. So nicely written.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, how about you?
Shadows casted in my inner light has a feeling of doubt, I feel like, is what it means. Inside my lonely shower, inside the mist, I'm always yours, my secret lover. To me, this has a feeling of doubt in it, that the other person feels the same, that you're kind of sneaking around together, but you still kind of doubt whether or not they view it as important, or if they view it as something that's going to be lasting. So, well done.
I like that, the sneaking around angle. Five digits become ten. Five digits become ten when you have two hands. So the representation there is either five digits being held by another five digits, or representation could have been, I think the metaphor might be that inner, the casting in my inner life, maybe they're talking through a computer. So the five digits become ten, kind of represents the idea of typing, so to speak. And then I thought, when I'm able to hold you again, I look for your face inside the mist. Again, that mist, the quality of what you see on the screen. And five digits in front of each other at that point on the back end is kind of like leading the way, so to speak. I'm always yours, my secret lover. So there is a hint of loneliness, but also the secret lover does get hit on that angle that Dex pointed out of sneaking around. So and not being able to spend that kind of time together. So, nicely done, Sophia. Thank you very much. All right, Pam. We're coming back
to you. All right. Well, here we go. Up next, we have Moonlight Serenade by Arcana Amore. And Arcana was nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud. So let me find that. And here we go.
I watch the fall of dwindling light as creeping shadows cleave to night. Tapestries of stars glisten approval, the setting sun ebbs with russet refusal. Waxen whispers chant Celine's sincerity, a sea of tranquility flows serenity. Singing serenades from a dark domain, before her lustrous voice must wane. A hush descends on dancing dreams, swimming the tides of seductive beams. The magic of midnight softly chimes, while sinking silence slowly climbs. This ivory gaze, so heavenly divine, speaks poetry of night in Luna's rhyme. Wandering wishes float freely on air, dancing in clouds with graceful care. A pallid kiss of celestial bliss sends a caress from the dark abyss. Amid the zenith of night's embrace, I see the glow of her gibbous face. In this mystical orb enchantment dwells, rippling reflections cast their spells. Nocturne notes sweetly romance the shade, playing where moonlight kisses cascade. I watch the flight of dwindling night, while sleeping shadows fade from sight. The shimmering stars recede astray, as the mellow moon slowly melts away.
Great read, Arcana. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Dex, why don't we start with you, please?
Yeah, very stunning write by Arcana. And, he was very initially, and I hope that this doesn't come off wrong, he was very initially known for his dark poetry and his dark or his ability to do these sound clouds that are dark, but this was a very sensual write, and he captured it off very well, talking about the tranquil flows of serenity. Where was it here? The wishes float freely in air, dancing in clouds of graceful care. And then talking about moonlight kisses cascade. Where was the part where it was talking about rippling reflection caster spells, talking about the waves and making love on the beach at moonlight. This was just a very passionate and loving poem, and he continues to stun with the sound cloud. So very well done, Arcana.
Nice. Thank you, Zach. Pam, how about you?
Oh, this is absolutely beautiful. Great rhyme and flow, wonderful imagery. It's interesting and funny, but, I like hearing somebody comment before me, because it gets me to see the poem differently. Like when Dexter commented, I suddenly saw the romance and the sensuality in it, especially with the word choices. But I felt like that, for me, the first read that I did of it, I looked at the idea of it paying tribute to the magic within the night hours and the beauty of the moon. But I definitely think this also speaks on love and romance between two people. But it feels to me like it speaks quite a bit more about a person's love for those nighttime hours and the sense of connection that they have with the moon. And I really like this all the way through, especially a pallid kiss of celestial bliss sends a caress from the dark abyss. Amid the zenith of night's embrace, I see the glow of her givest face. You know, wonderful lines all the way through and very well done.
Thanks, Pam. Thank you very much. And I'll go with that one because that second stanza offers up the divine note of where he's going with this one. Waxen whispers chant Selene's sincerity. Her sea of tranquility flows serenity. Singing serenades from the dark domain before her lustrous voice must wane. Everything walks in this along that note. Selene does happen to be the goddess of the moon, and the sea of tranquility is a space on the moon, and her lustrous voice must wane, or the waning of the moon itself. And he drops that all the way down, swimming the tide to seductive beams. Again, well played out. I like the thought of spelling magic but with a I-C-K, nicely touched, midnight softly chimes. And then the thought of a ivory gaze, so heavenly divine, capitalized heavenly, again referring to the moon itself. Then Luna's rhyme on the next line down. And then again offering up her gibbous face. I see the glow of her gibbous face. Again, it hits on that note of ode to the moon and all that she brings, because you've got that note of careful clarity walking in moonlight, and then that little touch of sadness at the back end, the shimmering stars recede astray as the mellow moon slowly melts away, a touch of sadness in the moon set. Nicely done, Arcana. All right, Pam. Back to you.
All right. And just to let you know, Dexter did have to go. He has a big day in the morning. So good night, Dexter. Thank you for calling in. All right. Let's see. Now, I know that was the last poem in that bit. So next up, I'm going to play the song Carnival of Rust. So let me go ahead and find that. And here we go.
I'm thirsty for your love, dancing underneath the sun. Nice.
I think that was the title of their second album in 06, Carnival of Rust.
Very cool. That was an awesome song. All right. So I put a message up in the room because we have two poems into this song. We have Stelina's and we have Bill Borden's. I put a message up in the room saying, Bill Borden, if you're lurking and want to call in, now would be the time. Because I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to grab Stelina's poem, I'm going to play her SoundCloud, and then Bill's poem will be after that. So he now has a heads up. So there we go. All right. So up next we have Too Little, Too Late by Stelina. And Stelina was nice enough to supply us with a SoundCloud. So here we go.
Do you breathe the name of your Savior in your hour of need, when your sins breathe life into dormant desires? Do you plead for compassion and mercy from the demon seed after morality turns to ash on funeral pyres? Do you fear the wrath of the fury of hell, ruining your corrupt past, your heart woefully whispering, too little, too late? Do you scream at the vision before you, about to breathe your last, when standing in the garish glow of the ninth gate? Do you utter prayers in dire desperation to fall upon merciful ears, which dismally die on your lips in final futility? Do you seek to show a trace of remorse for sinful deeds of your years, to repossess some scintilla of long-lost humility? You cannot run or hide away. The price is paid upon that day. Bygone transgressions will remain, while dissipating like sand is the gain, and forward through flames appears he who readily awakes to collect his fee. Now you must pay for your iniquitous pleasure, for your eternal soul is his ultimate treasure, with all regrets blowing away like dust, while what is left of life is a mere carnival of rust.
Great read, Stelina. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It's very much appreciated. And was that Arcana on the last note offering up that evil laugh? Pam, what do you got?
Oh, that's funny, because I was going to ask if it was you at the end with that evil laugh. But no, my guess would actually be that it was Stelina herself, since she has the ability to adjust her voice, you know, with a however you do that. I just thought this was absolutely wonderful. I'm always glad when Stelina makes SoundCloud, her and Arcana both, because it then becomes not just a poem, but a full-out performance. And I like how she used the echoing type sound, to, like almost as if it was a voice coming through the hallways of hell or something like that. I really like the bite in this, hard-hitting lines, amazing imagery. I really like how it's speaks on the idea of paying for those evil actions that hurt other people. And I really enjoy and appreciate the message within this and how it speaks on the idea that oftentimes the only reason people are sorry is because they got caught. And whether it's they get caught in this lifetime or they find themselves dangling by their gonads and, being licked by the flames of hell, you know, sooner or later they're sorry, but it's not a true sorry. It's not a, I realize I hurt other people. It's the, oh shit, I'm in trouble. Now I have to confess my sins. Now I have to be redeemed. But by that point, it's too little too late, as the title says. And I really like this all the way through, but I do really like the lines. Do you plead for compassion and mercy from the daemon seed after morality turns to ash on funeral pyres? And do you utter prayers in dire desperation to fall upon merciful ears, which dismally die on your lips in final futility? I like the use of questions in this to really make the reader think. And, you know, as I said, it just speaks on people who aren't truly sorry and aren't praying for the right reason, but for selfish reasons. So excellent, Dark Rite, and very well done.
Nice. All right, with the questions up front through until that last question in the second stanza, I was kind of thinking on the lines of what someone might ask Dorian Gray, but that second stanza, the last line, kind of sets it out. Do you scream at the vision before you, about to breathe your last, when standing in the garish glow of the ninth gate? The Ninth Gate was a movie going back 20-odd years, starring Johnny Depp and directed by Roman Polanski. Anyway, it was about a book dealer or a procurer, as Depp was known. He'd go out and look for those rare and unusual books, treatises, manuscripts for buyers. And they didn't care how he got it as long as he got it. And the one book was called Nine Gates, which was supposedly written by Satan himself. And he actually comes across the book itself and actually digs into it and performs a ritual which is supposed to summon Satan himself. And the idea, hey, the back end of this, he, and forward through flames appears he, who really awaits to collect his fee. Now you must pay for your iniquitous pleasure, for your eternal soul is his ultimate treasure, with all regrets blowing away like dust, while what is left of life is a mere carnival of rust. Nice note using a second song to finish out, but it does walk that nice tone of dipping. Oh, and of course, there's got the picture of a book and somebody reading it over a clenched hand. And, of course, fire on either side. So it does kind of walk that way of digging into, delving into that which you shouldn't. You know better, but you do it anyway. Perhaps because you don't believe initially, but then again, as you get into it, as events unfurl, you start believing and you think, ah, what the hell, I'll give it a try. And you find out what it's really all about.
Great observations, Dennis. I'll have to check that movie out. It sounds like a good one. I watched this movie the other day. It was called Room, was it 281? Anyway, there was this with John Cusack. And I don't know if I have the right number, but you might know which one I'm talking about.
1421, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one, too. I also watched this movie, Megan, about
Stephen King. That's a Stephen King.
Yeah.
Room 1408.
That's it. Because I remember that the numbers of the room added up to 13. Yep. So, yeah, that was another good one. But, yeah, really cool observations there on Stellina's poem. All right. Well, let me double check. I don't see Bill, so I'll go ahead and put up his right. And as soon as you see it, Rex, you can give it a read.
Okay, okay. There it is. Tears of Rust by Bill Borden. The mere whisper of your name is my savior, and with that whisper, my promotion agreed. For it rolls sweetly from tongue and lands softly upon the ear, and with that surrendering sound, my hard metallic shell oxidizes under saline tears of happiness, my tears of rust. Would you come to me in the name of the grand game of ill will, or in splendid red cake fashion? Would you take me to the horizon, that seemingly unreachable place underneath clouded skies of lustful deception, and with your superlative skill assassinate my emotions and then walk away, leaving a yearning heart wasting away under tears of rust? Oh, my world is burning, and in that disparity the heart seeks the rain. Would you be that caped crusader, offering love's downpour upon my scorched earth, and with that rain, in time's honored tradition, accelerate the rusting of my metal shell, a metal shell that has been forged in the fires of emotional depravity? If you be that, then I joyfully accept those tears of rust. I await your love scissors upon my marionette strings, so that we may dance in the rain of love under passionate skies, and tread upon the dusted, rusted remains of my metal shell. And within our love, I shall nevermore bear tears of rust. And poem. All right. What do you think?
Oh, wonderful read there, Rex. I think your voice was just perfect for that poem, though it would have been nice also to hear Bill call in and read it. This is a wonderful, heartfelt write. I love the imagery and the metaphors in it. You know, it speaks on searching for the kind of love that encourages you to let down your walls, you know, because you put up that protective layer from being hurt in the past, and encourages healing together, and especially a healing of the spirit. You know, I think I particularly like, again, the use of questions, and, you know, where it says, would you come to me in the name of the grand game of ill will, or in splendid red cape fashion? Would you take me to the horizon, that seemingly unreachable place? You know, I like that it asks those questions. You know, it says, you know, are you willing to help me through these troubled times? Are you willing to help me to heal? And kind of that idea of that giving the same thing in return. I really was intrigued by it. I await your love's scissors. Not only the idea of how scissors look when they spread open, almost like, I don't know how to say it delicately, like, but like a pair of legs spreading open. So there's a kind of an odd sensuality to that. But also I think of the game rock, paper, scissors, you know, but, and, you know, obviously, as he says, upon my marionette strings, you know, so that we may dance in the rain of love. In other words, I don't want to be a prisoner. I don't want to be controlled. I want to dance by my own free will with you in the rain, but you have to be the type of person that wants that too. Just a really brilliant line all the way through, and very well done.
Got to take it as a separation. The first two to go together, the last two to go together. The first two offer up the back end, the hard angle of the pain itself. The mere whisper of your name is my savior, and with that whisper, my promotion of greed. talking about Port rolls sweetly from tongue and lands softly upon the ear. And with that surrendering sound, my heart metallic shell oxidizes under saline tears of happiness. My tears of rust. There's a touch of hope in that first one. Second one walks right into the back. Or are you the succubus, the demon angle in that second one? Would you come to me in the name of the grand game of ill will or in splendid bread cake fashion? Would you take me to the horizon, that seemingly unreachable place underneath clouded skies of lustful deception, and with your superlative skill assassinate my emotions and then walk away, leaving a yearning heart wasting away on the tears of rust? Question. Not unsure. Hope first, unsurety in the second, and then that pleading note in the third, oh, my world is burning. And then the fourth, almost an angle of giving in to the moment, one way or another, still unsure, but awaiting. I wait your love scissors upon my marionette strings so that we may dance in the rain of love on the passionate skies and tread upon the dusted, rusted remains of my metal shell. And within our love, I shall nevermore bear tears of rust. So there's almost that kind of joy in that last stanza, but there's still a bit of trepidation. Nicely done, Bill.
Great observations there, Rex, especially on the I thought of and notice of the trepidation within the poem. Very cool. All right. Well, the next song I'm going to play is Children of the Sun. So here we go.
To me.
Nice.
Absolutely beautiful song. All right. And inspired by that song, we have "In a Maze of White Lies," or "White Lies." "In a Maze of White Lies" by Little Eddie. And my goodness. Oh, I thought that was the video still playing. That was very odd. All right. Well, as soon as it opens up, I will give it a read. All right, here we go. "Dear my family, I wish to escape the maze of white flies. I know you tell me never to lie. I feel I gave too much water. My sister did shrivel from overflow. I have to know why me. My own hair is not wavy. So why are you lazy when I need you most? It's a swarm now. I just need you to fly me home safely." End poem.
Short and sweet. Great read, Pam. All right. Gotta open up that note. "Dear my family," there's it's split, so I'm go with the disconnect. "The maze of white lies," white flies. I'm sorry, geez, "maze of white flies." That kind of, it's at the angle of being in the midst of something, that buzzing reflex of continuous noise that disintegrates the mind, so to speak. And then I thought, "I know you tell me never to lie. I feel I gave too much water," offering up the idea of too much of herself. "My sister did shrivel from overflow." Kind of hits on the angle of taking in too much, and now it's not quite the same as she once was. "I have to know why me. So why are you lazy when I need you most? It's a swarm. Now I just need you to fly me home safely." She's stuck in something which is not a very good situation. The idea of flying me home safely is through the need to be back in the warmth of family, where she knows things are more stable. So the white flies are almost that note of maggots, surrounded by maggots. Nicely done, Eddie. Thank you. All right, Pam.
I like that observation. Yeah, I definitely have to agree. Short and sweet, but I really like what you had to say. And I, too, had noticed the disconnect, and I liked your observation on that. I also noticed that with the disconnect, she had just the letter Y separate, at least the way I can see it. Which made me think of like the question why, like why am I being treated like this? Why am I in this place? I did tell her that I thought it was a very cool title, "In a Maze of White Flies," because I honestly the other night had those nasty buggers, because there is actually an insect called the white fly, and they kind of look like tiny moths, but they're in the fly family, and they're just really drawn to an obsessed by light. And some had gotten in my room, and God, there had to be like about 30 in my room, but there was like 150 or so at just banging against my window. And I told her I just couldn't imagine what it would be like to be walking through a maze of them. So I really thought it made for this great, creepy metaphor. I also felt like there was an excellent brevity, and that spoke to me on the idea of wanting to be loved and accepted for who you are. Very poignant ending line. You know, and because she mentions watering and, you know, and overflow and shriveling from overflow, and because white flies actually oftentimes are attracted to like tomato plants or, you know, or other vegetation and are something you have to watch out for when gardening. It made me think of the idea that the using a plant as a metaphor for care and growth. And on a personal level, I also really related to my own hair is not wavy, because that was me and my sister when we were younger. I had the straight, practically straight dark brown hair, and she had these like Shirley Temple blonde ringlets. And I always wanted that hair, but, you know, such is life. Anyways, just a wonderful brevity written by little Eddie, and very well done.
All right. What's next?
All right. Well, since Rozzy has been so nice to be hanging out on the board during the show, I am going to play the song Chasing Echoes, which will be followed by the reading of her poem. So here we go with the song.
Is the dream still alive? Still the image of perfection? Sweet little delight, a happy disaster, an easy lie. What sometimes hurt befriends rejection. It's kind of rich, I know, when you're the one denied. Is this a roller?
Nice.
All right. Now that was a powerful song. And up next, we have Chasing Echoes by Rozzy and Rex. Go ahead and give that a read, please.
Chasing Echoes by Rozzy. In my dream, I was running through wild forests of the midnight. Forgot why I was speeding, wanted to memorize and write. In my illusions of the night, down I go, swirling through the tunnel, seeing funky colors, hearing voices, getting into trouble. It's a long way to go down this rabbit hole, several hours of sleep, a roller coaster of imagination, didn't count any of them sheets. It goes down. Should I use instead of a tunnel that shaky elevator? Until I wake up, take me down from these high, dreamy clouds. I say, hey, Mike, let go your leg off that useless accelerator. And do let me fall fast to the bottom. Meanwhile, I flew to direction I didn't know. I thought, this is an unexpected way to go. I'm not getting on the ground. I'm flying up and earth below to find echoes of the sound. End poem.
Great read there, Rex. I especially was impressed with the screaming, as I knew you would do a great job of that. So that's why I made sure to give that one to you. I really like this, man. I think Rozzy was either tripping on shrooms or acid when she wrote this. But I love the imagery and metaphors. I thought it was quite the trip of light, fantastic, and rabbit holes to find the purpose within the echoes. And that was my short comment, and I'll add on to that. But I like how, to me, it speaks on the idea of the subconscious, the mind that awakens when we fall asleep. And I like the references to the whole idea of having trouble getting to sleep, you know, like a roller coaster of imagination, didn't count any of them sheets. You know, but I like the duality in that, because it's not only like the counting of sheets, but it's also a reference to not thinking like one of the sheep. You know, I say, hey, Mike, let go of your leg off that useless accelerator and do let me fall fast to the bottom. You know, I like that whole idea of speaking on, you know what, I want this fall. I want to go down this rabbit hole. I want to explore beyond the first layer and go deeper into thought, somewhere where the mind doesn't usually go, this idea of new realms of thought to explore. So great write all the way through and very well done.
Okay. Yeah, I got that thought with the Alice in Wonderland bit. The thought of White Rabbit from a Jefferson Airplane. One pill makes you smaller, another one makes you tall, and the ones that mommy gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice. But I do like, she did something really well. Look at that first line. In my dream, I was running through. And then again, in my illusions of the night, down I go, swirling through. Now, I like the use of through there, spelling it in the angle of being tossed, being thrown. So you get that note of running from one angle to another, because that's how you dream. You think it's hours, but it's in 10-15 second spurts. So you get that idea of being tossed right through one door, into the next door, into the next one, and you don't ever know where you're going to go, because your mind doesn't work that way when you sleep. That's just, until I wake up, take me down please. The high dreamy clouds. Hey, Mike, kind of that angle to the conductor of this, what kind of walks through it as a sideshow, because you've got a, let's see, seeing funky colors, hearing voices, getting into trouble. and sort of wanted to memorize and write. Now that's a nice line there, and that's important because it does come back to I'm flying up and earth below to find the echoes of the sound. Now that goes right back to that forget why I was speeding, wanted to memorize and write. The idea of something occurred in that state, and from there it goes off on different paths. So the idea of wanting that to be something that you wake up from, and in that moment you still have that tidbit on your mind. Yet sometimes it doesn't all work that way. So the end line of flying up and there's below to find echoes of the sound is that reverb of wanting to find those words in the moment and write them down again. It also hits on the angle of finding the sound of those memories that are being tossed around inside the mind. Nicely done, Roger. Thank you very much.
I like that. Great observations there, Rex. Very cool. All right. The next song I'm going to play is My Dark Disquiet. So here we go.
I get a ride with you in this dream.
Yeah.
All right. And up next, we have Ghost Lights by Marriott Dark. And I'll give this a read. Eventide unfolds a cavalier's night and a marionette moon with no strings attached to burn so pearly white. Time to light the wildfires across the windswept steppes. My veins course with their fiery prose in every blood-stained verse. And here we remain static in realms of disquieting sanctuary. I come alone in deference and homage to the Lilith Queen whose confidence was foretold in pages torn from the Book of Thieves. We stood beneath the arching vines, wrapped in each other's arms, listening to the overflowing voices of the raging river's discourse, kissed by molten sunlight, swept along with all our dreams. Ghost lights danced along the tree line, darting in and out of the forest green, hanging like a shawl draped in shadows. All along the dimming summer vines, whose fruitful melodies whispered of sacred lilt and threnities, white fire, magical refrains cast adrift on vast fractal ocean tides. Between the thrum of lightning bolts and the sepulchre thunder, where mysteries entwine, creating pathways and portals beyond the great divide, separated in time, floating here in my mind, soaked in waters turned to wine, a savior's dream of the divine. End poem.
Great, Ethan. I like the metaphor rolled in this. That opening few lines was really tight. Eventide unfolds a cavalier's night and a Marriott moon with no strings attached to burn so pearly white. Time to light the wildfires across the windswept steps. My veins course with their fiery prose in every bloodstained verse. It's about the idea of writing that note, but it goes in a little deeper. I come alone in deference, in homage to the Lilith Queen. Lilith, there's a note of evility within that opening word, darkness, and then the Book of Thieves, the arching vines that are wrapping in each other's arms, and then the overflowing voices. There's a note to dipping into the dark side of the mind and the vines that wrap themselves in. It's kind of the thought of all that liquid crisscrossing across the mind engages one to the point where it's all clicking in the moment. But the back end walks a different tone, creating pathways and portals beyond the great divide, separate in time, floating here in my mind. Soaked in waters turned to wine, a savior dream of the divine. That soaked in waters turned to wine, the idea of the plainness of what first came about has now turned to something a lot sweeter, which walks a truer path to the vacuum that one can get lost in sometimes when it comes to writing. I like that. Nicely done, Maria. Thank you. All right, Pam.
Great observations there, Rex. Yeah, I love the imagery and metaphors throughout this, and I really felt like he really captured the vibe of the song lyrics of Poets of the Fall. There's something just truly magical and mysticism about this. You know, this first part of the poem, it really makes me think about the whole idea of dancing naked beneath the moonlight around a giant bonfire. And, you know, it just put me in that kind of mood. And I did like the part in homage to the Lilith Queen, Lilith being the mythology the first wife of Adam, but she refused to sleep with him. So it feels like that idea of rebellion. I also like how it pays homage to the light within the night skies to the light of the stars and the planets and the mystery and magic therein. And it also, you know, just speaks on that divinity within those lights. I really like between the thrum of lightning bolts and the sepulchre thunder, where mysteries entwine, creating pathways and portals beyond the great divide. Wonderful right all the way through, and very well done.
All right. Yes.
All right. Up next, we have The Recipes of a Dreamt Cake Store by Jim Bellamy. And go ahead, Rex, and give that a read.
Oh, The Recipes of a Dreamt Cake Store. Oh, the recipes of a dreamt cake store, bled bunnies on the glass, when once a rabbit dies alone, for vegetable raisins and red open doors, then a bed of rice, heaps murder, napalm at the shore, imbeciles the rains and Christ. The ice of a sperm cake has spored, bellicose raisins under glass. Oh, once inside this mind we hear words, crying like the cars of the past. Inedible ermine does a meat scarf, and the risings of an oven-burned hearth will spatter coals inside this broad world of scarred, mind-ripped mirrors. I am ascending up queasy stairs where my velvet attics sucker sear, and the deadness I shape from tears will enter into a dark drink. Once above a time, a draggler dons a netted hat and heels, splattered mold-dug mouse kinks. Next week, I'll be stoned by saints and poem.
Great All read right. there, Rex. Well, as always, Jim Bellamy is thought-provoking and entertaining. Brilliant imagery and metaphors, hard-hitting lines. I like the edginess to this rite. One of the main messages that I get from this is paying the price for mankind's stupidity, not only on an individual basis, but on a collective basis. How the society pays on a whole. He's very creative. I really like, I am ascending up tit-queasy stairs where my velvet attic secures fear, and that the desolates I shape from tears will enter into my dark drink, once above a time a draggler. You know, I have to say that tit-queasy stairs makes me think about the idea of, like, when you read those corny romances and they always have a woman, like, bouncing down the stairs with her knockers bouncing up and down in, like, just this grand flourish movement. Obviously, I don't know if that's exactly what Jim meant, but that's what it made me think of. I also really like where it said about murderous napalm and inedible ermine dons a mead scarf. I feel like the inedible ermine and the mention of how the like ermine furs used to be very popular, and then when furs weren't as popular anymore, it's kind of like casting animals or people to the side because we no longer find them of value. Yeah, so at least that's what I get from it. And and then also next week I'll be atoned by sinks with a question mark with a great ending line, because, you know, it's that whole idea of what kind of juggling. What kind of expectations do I have to go through next in order for to be so-called forgiven for what you consider to be my atrocities? So excellent write and very well done.
Yep, I missed that one. I thought that was stoned in the moment. Okay, atoned by sink, yes. And the idea of heaps murder napalm at the shore, imbeciles of rains and Christ. The ice of a sperm cake has spored bellicose raisins under grass. Once inside this mind we hear words crying like the cars of the past. The idea of and that being the better days of what once was, as opposed to the melange of imbecility and loss that walks within the shoes of today. It kind of hits on the idea of everything's getting roasted, toasted, and stuffed in people's faces to eat because they think it's a good thing. All right.
I like that. I like that. Well, with only like under 3 minutes left, I'm not going to try to play another song and poem, so you'll have two carryovers. Great show tonight, Rex. If you want to go ahead and mention any upcoming shows and wrap things up, awesome stuff tonight.
Well, I did, but you and Stelina took it, so I'll have to think of something else now.
Do you want it? I mean, you can do that topic.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to do it, Huey. You can pick all the damn songs, too.
Yeah, I mean, do you want us? I can ask Selena if we can just close that contest, either that or we can let you use those rights. Like,
you might as well just leave it open since you got it posted.
Okay. All right, but yeah, you go ahead if you want to do
it. And reopen it because you've already got some rights in it.
Yep. So.
All right.
Very cool.
Great show, Pam. Thank you for coming on board for a little while. And Rossi, thank you very much for the boards. And Harco, nicely said that. We'll do this again next Sunday evening as we get into some more music. Have a good night, everybody.